The scripture lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. Jesus came down with them and stood on a great level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And in all the crowd, they were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that's what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord.
So today's sermon is in a somewhat different format than the usual. Most of the sermon today is going to consist of a conversation. Now, some of you may be aware that I'm rather fond of things with double meanings, double entendres. So today's sermon title, I could have easily have spelled the name at the end of the sermon title L-U-C as well as L-U-K-E, because today's sermon is a conversation with Luke, the writer of the gospel of the same name, but it's a conversation with Luke via this Luke, Pastor Luke Deratus. So after I say a little bit about the passage, I'm going to ask him some, I think, you know, difficult questions that I've wanted to ask him actually for a long time. Now, I want to make clear that the passage that we're going to study together today, and I'm going to talk with Pastor Luke about, that you just heard Brant read, I did not choose it. If you know the tradition of the lectionary is a set of readings assigned to be read. If you follow the lectionary, a set of readings assigned to be read on any given Sunday. So this passage actually came to us via the lectionary. And very interesting that it has to do with the place of rich and poor in the kingdom of God. And that's something that I think, Pastor Luke, you're in a unique position to speak to.
Yes.
I don't take for granted that everybody knows Pastor Luke. Most of us do, and his bio is also in the bulletin, but just a little bit more information about him. Pastor Luke, we have been working with him, how many years is it now? Is it 25 years
It's about going to 30 years.
So almost 30 years almost. We have been working with Pastor Luke, and this relationship happened because of a chance meeting on a bus in Port-au-Prince by a member of Shiloh Baptist Church. It's a very long and rich and interesting story, but by happenstance, we got connected to Pastor Luke through my predecessor, Dana Fearon. And he operates four mission sites in Haiti. The main church, the mother church, is in Port-au-Prince, and yes, there's a church in Toman up in the mountains, in Laogon, in La Salle, but also a brand new one.
In
the very very remote area above Toman. And so, again, Pastor Luke is conversant with the culture of North America and works with people like us who support him. There are many churches who are affiliated with Pastor Luke and supporting him. But, of course, he also has a great heart for the people of Haiti, many of whom are indeed poor. And as I said, this passage has to do with the very tricky and difficult question of wealth and poverty in the kingdom of God. So I want to just give a little bit of context and background to the passage. You may know that the Gospel of Luke is different from the other Gospels in that Luke pays particular attention to at least two groups, the poor and marginalized of society, and women, and often shows them in roles that would have been kind of very shocking to people in the first century. Luke was, by tradition, a physician, and so that may show his attention to Jesus as a healer.
Yes.
He also was, by tradition, the companion, the traveling companion of Paul. And so I wanted to ask, this scripture itself, you should compare it to another passage that's similar but different in Matthew's gospel. You've heard of the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. So in Matthew's gospel, this stuff takes place on a mountain, sort of above it all, so to speak. In Luke's version of the Beatitudes, it takes place on a level place, which the prophets have kind of called the place of human struggle, a place of corpses, place of death, place of poverty. This is where the message is spoken in Luke's gospel. And it starts out different. You know, Matthew's gospel says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." In Luke's version, it says, "Blessed are you poor." Matthew has 9 Beatitudes, blessings, and no curses. In Luke, he has 4 blessings and 4 curses. There are no curses in Matthew's gospel. So I want to start by asking you, Pastor Luke, why do you think Luke... Oh, and by the way, I need to turn your microphone on, I think.
I turn it on.
Oh, you turn it on. Okay,
yeah,
good.
I did.
We want to make sure everybody can hear you.
Yes.
Why does he leave out poor in spirit? Why just poor? Do you think he wants wealthy people to be uncomfortable? And I realize that's kind of a provocative question, but I'm curious to know what you think about that. Why just poor?
I think truly he was talking about, you know, the physical poor. Being poor is really, you could say it's a curse. At the same time, Jesus was not leaving the rich out. The rich are supposed to be there to help them. You bless to bless others. So he was talking about the physical and economic poorness.
So, I mean, one of the things that I struggle with is it an impediment? I mean, is it harder for people with wealth and all the complications of it, is it more difficult for them to, you know, as Jesus said, enter the kingdom of heaven? You know, at one place he says it's harder for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a wealthy person to enter the kingdom of God. Do you, I mean, in your work with people who have means, middle class, upper class, here, is it more difficult to get the gospel than Haiti? What do you think?
Yeah, as we are reaching to different kind, but it's easier for those that does not have receive Christ by the hope knowing Christ can make it happen for them. And when you go to a rich person, say, "Well, I don't have time, you know, go and take care of your own business, I'm doing mine." But when you go, at the same time, you can go to a poor person trying to reach him or her for the kingdom and said, "Well, not now, another time." So I feel that everybody, it depends where you put God with your riches.
Yeah, so there may be some like making us feel a little better if we sort of say we can use the resources
we have. The resources that you have to help others.
Yeah. I mean, wealth can be a means of stumbling, but it can also help us into the kingdom, even though the distraction that comes with it may be a challenge that some of us have. And I don't know what to do with that. I mean, that's a difficult thing.
Yeah. But we have, even though we have, but we have to put God first, and then the riches be in a second, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is.
Well, here's something that's related to this line of questioning And it's something that I don't know that I've ever asked you this question. And it's something that I don't want to put a lot of judgment on. Well, here's the thing I want to talk about. Sometimes when people go to Haiti, there's often the observation that people who are so poor and have so little materially are also find it possible to be joyful, to be happy, especially those who experience the joy of the gospel.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things that troubles me about that, though, is does that mean that we can feel okay about their being poor? And that's what makes me a bit uncomfortable. We can sort of bless their poverty and say, oh, it's what makes them happy. And maybe we would not feel so bad about having wealth ourselves. I don't know. This is a thorny thing. I just wondered what you thought about that whole idea of people, you could say, romanticizing poverty or saying, you know, that they're poor but they're happy and isn't that great?
They are poor and happy because they know that it's really, I can say, when you have Christ, there is hope. And that's what we've been, you know, telling them. With Christ, you can make it. Without him, you are doomed and condemned. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we are not supposed to be envious of other people that has been possessed things to help them in life.
Yeah, so in a certain sense, I think you're making it very simple. The gospel is a choice, and the choice is yes, right? And maybe the it doesn't necessarily make life less complicated for us.
No.
And maybe as I think about how do we deal with that complexity, go there, go to Haiti, and be with you, and see the work that you're doing with people who are so different economically in many ways, and yet we're the same because we believe together in the gospel. That's what makes us brothers and sisters despite our situation.
That's what makes us one, because we are believing in the same God, and God is making provision, and whatever way, he will make provision. And he will send, you know, whoever he will send to help each and every one of us.
Amen. Well, on a slightly different subject, this passage has Jesus healing people miraculously. And I'm wondering if you have seen that kind of miraculous healing or experienced things that might be similar to what was going on in the passage today.
And
in your ministry in Haiti, or as you've observed people?
In my ministry in Haiti, we have been praying for many that has been sick and many that's having, you know, get pregnant, you know, going to have babies. And we would pray that God will help them deliver without having a cesarean. And one Thursday, we were having a service, and we call all the people that were sick or having babies, going to have babies, and we pray God deliver them from cesarean. Be comfortable in their delivery. And by the time one got home, the baby was out without problem. So we give God the glory for answering prayers.
Yeah.
And even heal those that has been really sick. And there was a lady who was really sick, and she could not even walk. One day she asked me for a cane, and we had the cane, and then we gave it to her. And 1 or 2 months, she brought the cane back to me to say, here's your cane. The Lord healed me. And now she's walking real straight without the cane. So she feels proud that the Lord has touched her body. So all the glory go to him.
And, you know, the thing I like about that understanding is that, you know, you can sort of have this idea that it's miracle over here, not miracle over here. And I think that the idea of being Christian is finding grace and giving thanks for the miracle of grace wherever we find it, you know, instead of looking at things in that way that, you know, there's some things that may have explanations that are truly miraculous.
Exactly. And God has a way of doing things. He may take you to the, you know, to a hospital operation room. He may do it. He's there with you. And he, even in your sleep, God can operate on you.
Amen. So I'm wondering, two quick questions left. How has your journey with Jesus Christ changed from the time you became a Christian until now? And I realize the time is somewhat short, but can you give us a little bit about how your journey's evolved over time, especially dealing with a motley crew like this?
I found Christ along while I was living with my parents. And I grew up at 5 years old. My uncle had me with him in Port-au-Prince, and he was already a Christian. So since he had me, I grew up with him, and that's where I found Christ. And there was no such thing, can I go? You have to go.
Yeah,
can I stay home? No. You have to go to church because God is the one who brought you here. So there are no reply.
Yeah.
You have to obey.
Yeah, I think that's a lesson for us as we raise children.
Yes.
Because you were given that faith through your family.
Amen.
But how has it changed? I mean, has your faith
Over
time?
My faith has grown as I, you know, when I was 15, even 20 years old. And after my sixth grade and going to seventh grade, and my uncle gave me a Bible, and the Sunday school teacher was not present. And he said, here's the verse. Go and teach these people their lesson, you know, that Sunday school verse. So since then, I've been really involved. And when I was about 25, 30 years old, and I felt God's call in my life, that's the time I said, God sent me somewhere I can be prepared and come back and teach my people.
Yeah.
So that's what's made me return back from Dallas to Haiti.
Where you got your training.
Which was not easy.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, you could have just sort of been a missionary here in America.
Yes.
And forgotten.
But if I did stay in America, I feel I would be in trouble because the many souls that I'm reaching now, and if I did stay here, and I really feel I would not be comfortable. But by me returning to Haiti, most of the time I have reflection back to me, it's good for you to be in Haiti, reaching to the lost soul and to the poor.
Well, one final question. I think that we have learned a lot from you, and I speak on behalf, I know, of many others by saying I myself have been inspired by you and how the grace of God is working through you and your ministry. But as a parting question, how would you encourage our believers in this church in their faith? How would you encourage them to deepen their Christian faith, Pastor Luke? Our Christian faith, I should say.
I have four
words. For me too.
I have four words that I would like to leave with the congregation this morning. The first word is depend on the Holy Spirit. The second word is reading the Word of God on every day. And the third one is prayer. Prayer of confession, prayer of worship, prayer of adoration, you know, adoration. And the last word is faith. Because without faith, nobody will see our Lord and Savior.
Amen. Can I get an amen?
Can I get an amen?
Maybe you could come back next week and we can repeat that message too.
So depend on the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, and then the faith.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm thinking we can briefly pray together.
Can I
will pray for your congregation. Yeah, please.
Can I say in Proverbs 28:27, he said, "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack." And then Psalms 41 said, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing."
Amen. Well, thank you for your encouraging of us, Pastor Luke.
Thank you.
I am deeply grateful, and on behalf of this congregation, I'm wondering if we could close with a word of prayer, and if you would pray for us, and I will pray for your congregations in Haiti. Let us pray, and I'll go first, and you can close us.
Yes.
Holy God, we give thanks for Pastor Luke Deratus and his strong ministry in your name in Haiti. We give thanks that we are able, through your grace, to support him, and ask that you would continue to give us the strength and means to do that. We are so grateful for the ways that all of his ministries in Port-au-Prince, in Laogan, in Toman, in LaSalle, and in the small village above Toman, how you are touching people through his work and the work of the gospel. We ask that you would continue to prosper the work of his hands and that we might continue to be inspired by him and by the people of Haiti. We pray this in the name of Jesus.
Eternal God, our gracious Father, we thank you for being here this morning with us, delivering your word so we can continue to be focused on you, depending on you, depending on your Holy Spirit, depend on your word, depend on the prayer and also the faith. Lord, thank you for making provision for your people so they can be able to live on and to share with others. We know that you will continue to make more and more provision for them, for their family, for their home, and also for their friend. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.